Welcome to Eurovision, a podcast with a unique Irish perspective on the Eurovision Song Contest.
Hello everyone and welcome back to the Eurovision podcast, Ireland's number one Eurovision podcast. And it is a very, very big episode of the podcast today because we are celebrating 100 episodes of Eurovision. Woo! And to do it, I'm joined by Alex Basmati and Irlande Lupa Louise. How are Hello. We both? How are you doing, ladies?
I'm feeling very old today. Expecting my letter from the president, you know, 100.
Yeah. You still get money for that?
Triple digits. I think they're being awful scabby now. It used to be like £1,000. I don't think so anymore.
Not
cost
good.
Of living, isn't it?
Not good.
But 100 episodes.
Yeah, it's
Who'd
crazy.
Who'd have thunk it, Alex?
It's crazy. Well, I'll have to count how many episodes I'm on. Maybe I'm only a baby. I'm only learning to talk, walk. But yeah, amazing. Can't believe it. 100 episodes. What do you think, Connor?
Yeah, like 100 episodes feels like a lot, but like we packed a lot in those, you know, 100 episodes, like 3 seasons, 2.5 really so far.
Crazy. 2.5 years of the podcast, yeah. Really, I suppose
it flies, doesn't it? It doesn't feel like that.
Yeah, two contests. We're looking forward
only
to another
two.
One.
I'm like, it feels like more. Yeah, and only two Euro songs.
A lot of national finals and a lot. Yeah, you know, talking about entries from
and
all
those quick
sorts.
Fire episodes, like crank it up. Yeah. The amount, I suppose,
when you think about it. But it's crazy. But a bit of a kind of casual episode today, yeah, because we're looking back and talking about Eurovision and reflecting on the last 2.5 years of the podcast as we reach this milestone. It's important to say that at the time of release, we are literally just 1 week away from Eurovision Live, which will be taking place on Friday, November the 22nd at the Top Deck, the Lighthouse, Dunleary. Tickets are still available, though limited, at eurovision.eventbrite.ie. You can head over and grab them there. We will be joined by four very, very special guests on the night. Previously announced, Mickey Joe Hart will be joining us. Michael Keeley will be sitting down for an in-depth interview too. And we just announced this week that Connolly, Eurosong 2023 runner-up, will be joining us for a chat and a performance. And Louise Cantillon, fresh from the plane from Madrid, Junior Eurovision era host Louise Cantillon will be joining us too. So head over, get your tickets now if you haven't. And speaking of Junior Eurovision, stay tuned because midway through this episode, we will be speaking to the young representative heading over to Madrid, Spain to represent our little old country of Ireland at Junior Eurovision 2024. Stay tuned because Enya Cox-Dempsey will be on the episode too. So a great little episode for our 100th episode.
Where to start,
where to start? Yeah, it's a big, big question name.
100. Should we start with a very general discussion on how Eurovision came to be? Because I feel like we've mentioned it so many times in passing and we've probably been asked in person, but I don't know if we've ever gone through the full timeline of events on the podcast, not to my knowledge anyway.
No.
I think it'd be good to reflect on and remind the listeners, yeah, how you guys
and how we all met too, and where Alex came into it, yeah, and how we all started working together. So you can both correct me if I'm wrong in any of this in my head. Connor, we've known each other since, I wouldn't have an exact date, I would say 2020-ish. 2019,
yeah, March,
I don't know.
2020.
Something like that.
Because it was during lockdown. Because a good friend of ours, we met on Twitter, basically.
Yeah, so I was at the time doing work with Eurovision Hub on YouTube. And then, were you doing your own thing at the time, or was that later with ESC Connor?
I was doing, funny story, I was doing it under a name, NY Lad. Standing for New York Lad. I didn't want anyone to know it was me.
Can you explain?
And then I rebranded to Eurovision Central.
Oh, I remember Eurovision Central. I was there for
that. That's
what
I joined this group chat as, Eurovision Central.
Yes.
And people were like,
we had a group chat on Twitter. But I knew you were called Connor because I think we had spoken individually.
Oh, yeah. I was very much like, I am Connor, but like, I'm Eurovision Central. Like, don't be coming. Yeah, don't be coming for me. But then eventually, I was just like, I know, I'm Connor. So
I think you and I had exchanged messages separately, and then there was like a meetup of a Twitter group chat, August 2020.
Yeah.
In Dublin City Centre.
Socially distant, might I add, for those
people
who might be. People
tried to cancel us at the time, actually, on Twitter. That's so ridiculous. We were in Stephen's Green Park, of all places. Yes, so we met briefly. And then we were just sort of in touch. I don't think, though, until we met, we knew how close we lived to one another.
No, it was only when we started talking that we realized, because you had asked me where I was from, and we realized we were neighbors. But I don't think it was probably until the following February.
What happened was in March 2021, I moved out of my family house and I moved in with friends, and I moved even closer to you, to where I still live now. So I'm around the corner from you, essentially. So I lived like 2 kilometers down the road from you, and now I live like, I don't know, 500 meters, something silly. And we met up then to socially distance play Maps by Leslie Roy in a car park. What? Do we ever tell you this?
No.
So Leslie released Maps. Connor and I were like, oh God, this is incredible. Such a good song. We were very excited. We met up. We parked our cars like a space apart, because that's what COVID did to you, I swear.
And but then before we parked, we went through the drive-through coffee shop and both got tea and parked up with the tea and coffee. Windows down, player and Maps going, Maps, 1, 2, 3, play.
Songs.
Oh, no, like Maps, like Leslie Roy always has like a dear heart. Like, I feel like she was the start of so much for us.
Yeah, yeah. And bonding and stuff. Yeah,
yeah. Like, I will
was that
always
her
hold.
Second song as well.
Yeah. Because, like, obviously COVID was so strange, like, but everyone had so much time on their hands. So I feel like Leslie had a lot of time for the fans.
And I
so that's
love,
how we grew so close.
I didn't
her.
Love her first song, Story of My Life. But do you remember, I was living in Australia in 2020, just going, I'm flitting back here for a second. She did that Late Late performance that didn't go well. She got a lot of Twitter trolls and even like, not even just Twitter trolls, like general Irish Eurovision fans being really horrible about her online. And then there was like this campaign, Love for Leslie, which we also got a bit of a beast for as well. And Connor and I were very much on that hype train of supporting Leslie. So we were kind of like getting to know each other through that, just supporting Leslie basically. And then this is very Lou and Connor coded. I have to say as well, Connor, I feel like, and I know you were, like, there's a little bit of an age gap between, it's not a massive one, but you were younger at the time. I feel like I've seen you grow into a young man, because when I think of how I met you and you were like,
I was only 20,
you were so friendly, but you were definitely a lot like shyer than you are
like,
now.
Until I know you, I don't come out of my shell. Like, I'm very much like a vibrant and like, you know, I'm killing jokes, but like, if I don't know you, I'm very much quiet. So I remember that day, I remember being petrified, because obviously Lou, like, you were a YouTuber. Like, I know you hate to say it, but like, she was a YouTuber. Like, she was someone that you would watch on Eurovision Hub. And she always like shakes her head at me when I say this, but like, you do realize, as a person who, we always talk about that person who doesn't really know anyone that loves Eurovision, you feel like you're the only one, and you go and to your outlets, you watch the likes of Wee Wee Blogs, Lisa Michelle.
It's
I watch Eurovision.
It's such a special
Hall.
Relationship that you have to the people that you consume content.
Exactly, and especially when it says Louise and has an Irish flag beside it, you're always like, oh my God, she's Irish, I can relate to her. So meeting her in person, I was like, oh my God, that is bizarre. Like, I'm literally talking
to
her.
Stop,
so
I can't go.
You always, you know, like, forget that.
Do you know what I did a week later then? Because I remember being like, oh, he's a lovely lad. Like, we get on well. We live close. We'll probably be like friendly. This is great, whatever. Not thinking too much into it. And then our group chat was doing this like kind of project for Leslie, where we were like recording really beautiful parts of Ireland and recording them, and then we made it into like a video compilation, two maps. It was like nearly like a full to Ireland to show off the different parts of Ireland we were all from. And I don't know if I'll say the exact place, that because I'll be spoiling like pretty much where Connor and I are from, but there's a lovely place on the coast of Ireland near to where Connor and I are from, with beautiful sunrise views in the morning. And it was coming up to Patrick's Day, which also happens to be Connor's birthday.
It was Patrick's Day morning. It was the morning of it.
Yeah, it was coming up to it. And I got onto Connor and I was like, will we go and do it on Paddy's Day morning? Not knowing it was this, like, my new friend's birthday, right? Aww. And I was like, okay, we'll get up at, like, 5 o'clock. I'll see you there at 5:30. So poor Connor, who is the least morning person I've ever met. Again, I didn't know this about him at the time. Was like, yeah, no problem. So the two of us got up, drove to this beautiful, picturesque location, which is kind of like high up on the sea. I'm sure a lot of you
this
will
sounds
know
very romantic. What was going
not
on?
Beating the allegations of like with married the husband and wife over here.
Did either of you think this was a date or?
And I remember just being like to my family, oh, yeah, I'm just meeting my friend for a sunrise walk. They're like, right, whatever. Bringing our iPhones. And then we went for this like mini hike, and then we got these beautiful shots of like Dublin Bay, like with the sunrise coming up over it, and it was absolutely stunning, the water and everything. And then we got loads of cute little pictures together. I feel like we should post them at some point. They're like our first proper pictures together. Aside from the meetup one, we did have a selfie the year before.
I remember saying to Lou, I was like, oh my god, I should do this more often. I can tell you, I haven't done it since.
It's the one time.
It's the one time.
I was like, we'll do it again.
It's like, it's beautiful. But
what
like,
time was it in the morning?
It was like five, six in the morning. It was sunrise. Like,
we went home at like 7:30.
And I went straight back to bed.
On his birthday.
On my birthday.
And I didn't realize we met up, and then you mentioned something, and I was like, is it your birthday? And you were like, yeah. I was like, oh god. I've dragged this boy out of his bed. This is my idea. So that's very Lou Collar Coach, I feel. Just like a silly project. Like from the outset of our friendship, we were doing silly projects together. Like from the very, very beginning.
That's so true, actually.
But then, like bringing it back, because obviously, like I keep mentioning Leslie, but she did have such an impact on our like friendship at the beginning of it.
Yeah.
And like it spawned from love for Leslie, and then like the campaign to get the song, like me ringing into like radio stations, being like,
we were
play maps,
radio stations,
play maps.
Yeah.
And we'd have a list of who rang and like who texted
you're going
in.
Around threatening radio stations.
I remember Stephen Byrne.
We had an argument. Was that Stay FM?
Yeah.
We had an argument with this radio DJ. Yeah.
He's not on it anymore, which says a lot. But
what happened?
We decided we were going to try and get this particular DJ because I think he seemed sound or like he'd take requests. And we like assembled a group of like 10 of us to text in, and we were like, please play maps, please play maps. And then he basically slagged us off live on air. I can't remember what he said. But so,
culty kind of vibes he said about us.
I mean, he wasn't
there.
Totally wrong.
No,
but it was
no,
a bit rude
we took him offense to him.
And did he play the song?
No, he didn't. He didn't. Just slagged but he did off. Apologize. He did apologize eventually.
What, after
but,
you?
But he's not on today FM anymore, so it just says a lot of names.
I think
should've
we sent
maps.
In a lot of complaining messages. It was a whole thing.
The cult is
don't
back.
Come for us. Don't come for us.
You're not helping your cult.
You're in the cult now, Alex. It's too late.
God, yeah. No, I remember like sending an audio note to Stephen Byrne, and he played it on air. He was basically like, hey, Stephen, can you play maps? And he like made fun of the fact I was like, oh, like straight to like play maps. He was like, oh, hey, Steve. Oh, yeah. Hey, Connor. Like, you know, I kind of brushed over saying hello to him, but he meant it in a good way. Like, he didn't take offense.
And then did he play it?
He played maps then, yeah. So that's why we love Stephen
Byrne.
That's
impressive that you guys were so coordinated.
Oh, literally. Like, my car was decked out in like banners and all for Leslie. I parked outside the three arena.
Connor was the PR manager.
No, I literally
of
was
that whole, like entry.
Yeah.
That was all the social media stickers. That was you.
Yeah. I had loads of like Spotify, like, you know, the Warp they used to do where you could like scan it and it would play the song. I had like 1,000 stickers printed.
You stuck them around the local shopping centre.
You're joking.
Yeah.
Connor was the social media person on that.
Yeah, like she hired me eventually. Like I did work with Leslie.
That's amazing.
So like I did her lyric video for maps, and then afterwards I did all like promo stuff for her. So like that brought a lot to me, you know,
gave
me so much experience and stuff, and like obviously
a big start to your portfolio.
Yeah, like, and I can never thank Leslie enough for that, and obviously still in contact with her to this day because of all that. But like that was all from, you know, meeting you and like all these friends, and you know, being so passionate about
and having peers in the Eurovision world, because it can be, you just don't enjoy it as much when you're consuming it on your own. I think. So then we had this like kind of little group and like different friends about the place and whatever, little meetups. And then I would say once COVID lifted, because I know we all kind of watched Eurovision 21 ourselves or like at home or whatever, because most people couldn't go. Was it kind of, I'm trying to remember, was it, when did all the concerts start? I think that was more 2022 when restrictions had lifted. I went to Melfest, did I, in 2022, with Micheál, etc. I was raving about that. Did you go to LEP that year?
I went to LEP that year, and I got COVID at it, actually, funny enough.
Oh, yeah, so it's people did. And then we went to Turin together.
Yeah, Turin was the first, like,
we loved
major
Brooke.
Thing.
We rented, were you were there when we rented the Airbnb for Eurosong 22?
Yes,
yeah,
we rented
like
an Airbnb in Dublin City. Like, we literally live in Dublin, but, like,
near
just
Temple
to
Bar.
Do something.
Yeah, we rented an
Alex,
Airbnb.
Alex, you missed so much, girl.
Yeah. There was about 10 of us. We rented an Airbnb near Temple Bar so that we could go out afterwards. We watched Eurosong. We were screaming for Brooke. We were delighted she won.
We got a sound complaint.
We got a sound complaint because we were so
noisy.
Bunch
of rowdy Eurovision fans.
Yeah.
Then we went out to the pub and no one knew what we were talking about. We were all like excited.
Why did we go to Flannery's? We should have gone to the George.
Such a random one to go.
What were we doing?
I was still hiding dead, Lou. I couldn't be seen there.
We hadn't expanded yet.
And but, at that point, had you guys thought about a podcast? Or
no.
Yes and no, though. Because, well, not Eurosong 22, but you were doing your own radio show.
Yeah, because I was doing a radio show in university. And I used to do it with another girl because she was a fan, but kind of more of a casual fan. And we were doing it and it was going really well. And 1 week, we had like all this Eurosong interviews with all the contestants and she fell sick. She got COVID. And I was like, shit, like, what am I going to do? So I asked the person I knew who, like, obviously was good at presenting, knew what she was doing. So I asked Lou to come in. And, like, we had so much crack on that night.
I was crying laughing. Like, we were in this, like, tiny studio. It was so hot.
So warm.
And I was like, there's tears rolling down my face from the rubbish we were saying. I still go back and listen to that sometimes. Because
Is it still on there?
I think so.
Oh, God. It's on... Need to delete those.
Eurovision Weekly, guys, if you want to find it before you delete it.
Oh, Jesus.
I'm writing this down.
Did we do interviews?
Yeah, we all, like, Brendan, Murray, Brooke.
Oh, I interviewed...
Patrick O'Sullivan.
Patrick O'Sullivan earlier that evening.
I did not
tonight.
Know
yeah.
this.
Yeah, yeah,
one
yeah.
One kiss, one promise.
So, Lou covered for the girl on that, and then...
We got a lot of good feedback, I think.
Yeah, like, it crashed the site. It crashed, like, the... Because it's obviously, like, a university radio, but, like, that website crashed. So no one could access the link live to listen in. So it was only going back to like play and then the plays were really, really good compared to all the other episodes. So based on that, we knew that we obviously had some good chemistry going.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't really until, like, we went off to Eurovision itself, had a great crack, but it wasn't really until the summer when we...
And if I remember correctly, you also were running your own podcast, E.S.E. Connor, and you asked me...
You can tell I really want to get into
Spotify
a podcast.
Also,
we were both watching rehearsals online, were we? And then you asked me to, like, review... I can't remember exactly.
Yes.
We were kind of, like, dabbling in it together through
I was definitely trying to tap in because you were much more, like, in it with Hub.
I was leaving Hub. Well, not leaving Hub, but, like, basically, I still love Hub dearly because, like, Micheál Kane's... One of my favourite people in the world. But it was, and people actually often ask me, like, what happened with Hub? Like, there was no big that, like, I wanted to leave. It was just that it was basically that I got too into Eurovision. I couldn't react anymore because I was following Sanremo. I was following Melfest. Yeah. So I wasn't giving, like, true reactions to the songs. And then I was finding that, like, because, you know, I'm a talker. So I was, like, blah, 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 like, trying to get in my opinions or, like, reactions or things I felt. And then obviously the way a reaction channel is edited, it can't work like that. Like, because there's 8 different reactors, so you have to get snippets from everybody. And it wasn't working on my end anymore. Like, the lads were amazing on Hub. But I was realizing, like, okay, if I'm going to keep channeling creative energy into Eurovision, I need to do something more like a podcast or video essays or, like, something where...
there's
more space.
It's like its own art, really, isn't
it? Yeah, I kind of just outgrew it. Like, not in a bad... I still love reactions and I watch them a lot myself, but it just for me personally, I wasn't enjoying doing them anymore. And Micheál was just like, oh, girl, you do you. Like, that's fine. Like, because he had built this amazing thing himself anyway. So it wasn't dependent on one reactor, which is the right thing, I think. I was kind of transitioning out of that. And then we spent a bit of time together that summer. I think just hanging out.
Yeah, because I think Eurovision really brought us closer.
Turin, yeah.
Because we obviously...
We went with Micheál.
Yeah.
Glasgow, like, Micheál.
We had great crack.
Like, we did. Oh, the Huntsman pub. You heard all about it on the podcast, I'm sure.
You go back to our first ever episode, you can hear all about that. But, like, we created a lot of memories from that. And then we came back.
And we just hung out a bit. And then one night we were in the local pub that we still frequent sometimes. And I think we were just talking about it and we were like, oh yeah, there's such a gap in the market, like, for Ireland and Eurovision. And I was like to Connor, let's tap into it. Let's do it. Like, no one else is doing it. Like, if you look now, it's like you've got, like, Eurovision 365, you've got Eurovision Tom, like, even OJE Ireland is, like, doing great for, like, promoting and events and everything. But, like, at the time there was, like, nada. Like, OJE Ireland was dead. We didn't have Eurovision Tom. Like, you know what I mean?
How did we all survive?
Alex is like, my time.
My king.
I think I was just like, let's do it. And you were like, all right.
Yeah.
And that was basically, we were like, what will we call it? and we really wanted to call it Eurovision. That was like our top choice. And then, do you remember, we were worried because a few of our friends had a fan contest called Eurovision.
Yeah.
And I wanted to check. It was kind of not in use anymore, but I wanted to just check with them that they didn't mind, and they didn't mind. Jean Michael and Micheál, legends. So yeah, we were like, okay, we've got a name. We had an idea of like how we wanted it to look and how we wanted it to sound and feel. There was other podcasts we looked up to a lot, and there was like elements from those that we liked, and then we wanted to just create our own thing, I guess.
Yeah,
we wanted
the Irish twist on it.
Yeah, we wanted it to be like, you know, the Irish people are like silly, like relaxed, good crack, bit of swearing every now and then, honest opinions.
Apologies from me.
Bit of back and forth, bit of crack, basically.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then like cover Euro song, like cover RT, like follow
Irish people have such a unique relationship with the contest as well, because
it's a
nation that had such a great experience and then is kind of at the time when you started was nearly at rock bottom.
That's what I was just gonna say, like, it was such an interesting time because we'd come off the back of another non-qualification and we were kind of in the pit of like,
we were in the pits, we always said that
Brooke was like a good song, but like, where do we go from now? You know, Euro song had just come back, like, is that the right way? So we were really like at a crossroads, essentially.
Yeah,
so we thought it was like the perfect time to really latch on, and we've obviously seen the progress since then. You know, we've obviously finished top 10, you know, six plays, Euro song's grown itself, like the production has gotten better, so we've seen a lot grown since then, but we'll touch on that a bit later on.
And also like RTE's engagement with fans and fans' engagement with one another, and the community that was not there 3 years ago is very clearly there now, online and in person, which is really good to see. We need to circle back to Turin for a second, because that's how we met Alex.
Dun, dun, dun.
I think Alex should take the floor for this one.
This is just the most iconic story ever.
It's actually
ever. Like,
so good. Just...
Again, in the same way that like your meeting story is very you guys, I think this is very us as well. Like very
Alex, you, Alex. The way you story. Went about it.
So before you get to like exactly when we met, how did you get into Eurovision? What was your kind of experience with it prior to that?
I keep thinking back on this story because I've always been into it like everyone, but I think... similar to a lot of people, when 2020 happened, it was a time of reflecting. We were all like desperate for content to watch. What year? It was Maneskin
21.
That was 21, right? So that was
still
like
COVID-y.
That was the big return, right? And I remember watching it, loving it. And I think once you could start booking tickets to go back, I was like, look, I think I just finished college. And I said, I've always really wanted to go, but it's always college exam time around May. So it was the first time that I was able to go. And I rallied my poor friend Isabel to come to Italy with me. She was not the biggest fan of the contest, but she actually wanted to move to Italy. So I convinced her, entered a Weeby Blogs competition. Randomly, and won VIP tickets to go. So I'm like, right, I'm all set. I best, you know, start following a few people on Twitter, because I definitely was not as engaged as you guys were on the Twitter sphere, and even on YouTube, I would have been aware of Weeby Blogs, but definitely nothing else, very surface level. So I remember in the run up, I was kind of scouring Twitter to find Irish people. In particular, Twitter spaces were really big. And even every night when stuff was coming out, I was listening in. I definitely heard Lou join a few. And I think...
sounds like Lou.
Yeah. Love a good Twitter space. Miss them.
Yeah.
Were they like the Phoenix ones? I don't know if they're Phoenix at the time.
I
think
I genuinely first heard you on Phoenix Twitter spaces. And it's funny because like... whenever I was listening to them, I would probably be closest to you. Like, we're both Irish, close in age.
From
and
Dublin.
A lot of, I really liked when you joined because I'm like, great, someone with an Irish perspective. Because you do just connect on that. So I was listening to you probably the 2 to 3 weeks running up to that contest. Followed you then and went about our little weekend with my pal Isabel. We only made it to the Brooks semi-final, actually, that devastating night. Went to Euroclub that night and then kind of had just a little Milan trip after that. So Sunday evening, do you remember what time was our flight? Was it
9 or 10 and it got delayed?
And it ended up getting delayed. Yeah. It was really
like after
depressing.
Midnight by the time we took off.
It was late. We were wrecked.
We were all wrecked.
We slept like an accumulation of maybe 8 hours the entire weekend.
Yeah, and me
falling asleep outside the pizzeria on the first night.
Because
I had stayed up all night the night before because I was like, I had a watch party with my friends for Brooke. Mm. And then we were flying literally like 7 a.m. So I was like packing and everything.
Yeah.
And then like, they were like, I was like, no, you're fine. Like, we don't have to go home. And I'm literally like here at the side of the street falling asleep. But God, it was gas. So funny.
So yeah, we were definitely all wrecked that evening.
Go back. Where did you watch the final then in Turin?
So, oh my God, this is a whole story. Oh yeah, itself. I love this. We I was deep in Reddit, like, can anyone find a screening in Milan? And like fully sharing links with randoms being like, hey, found this like one screening. Because the Italians famously are not into it.
Tell us about you.
So we found one screening in the whole of Milan in a sports hall, like underneath the pub. I swear to God. And it was gas because it was like the first three rows, again, just like on sports hall little chairs, were all clearly Eurovision fans who were like desperate to see it. And then the rest of it were all Italians being like, who the hell are these people? And I got a tap on the shoulder halfway through and this Italian lady goes, how do you know all of the songs? And I was like, oh, girl.
I don't know, maybe we both watched the 2022 final in basements because you were in the sports hall basement. Yes. We were under like a hotel basement.
Because Turin didn't have any viewing parties either.
So we watched it in one of the guys' hotels. They had like a cinema room kind of thing.
Yeah, we put it on that. Jesus,
And there's a couple of Italians on the other side of the room that kept talking and we kept being like, shut up, talking during the songs. And like, it's very funny. But yeah, bring us back up to the flight then.
Yeah, so again, me and Izzy went out that night. There was like a big group of English fans there with all Graham Norton masks. They all turned up, all 10 of them. So they were good crack. Yeah, had a big night out that night in Milan and then was wrecked the next day. And I actually was thinking about this recently. When I was in the airport, do you remember? So this was the Sunday and there was kind of rumors of strikes or something, big delays. So me and Izzy were like, let's just go to the airport because we were in Turin to Milan and then Bergamo Airport, right, is the Ryanair airport. So it's like a really big journey even to get there. So we were like, look, let's just get there really early and then just hang out all day rather than worrying about, you know, getting taxis or whatever. So I genuinely think we were there for 7 hours.
Jesus.
And then our flight got delayed. But in the airport, I was listening to a Phoenix Space that Lou was on.
Probably in the airport.
Yeah, not even knowing that Lou was in the damn airport as well.
Sod.
Quite creepy when you think about it.
The listeners could
she
be anywhere.
Knew you were coming.
Yeah, exactly. So anyway, fast forward, gets delayed. We all get on the flight. And then me and Isabel are sitting there and Lou sits beside us, I think. And
it was Alex at the window.
I was at the window.
Me in the aisle.
Izzy in the aisle. And then you.
And Connor was in the aisle, like beside
the
you.
Other, yeah.
So
ready to sleep, might I add.
And I'm like, that's an Irish girl. I think I might have heard you call her Louise Connor. And I'm like, okay, let me get up her Twitter and let me double check. So I actually went on Lou's Twitter.
I remember this bit.
Looked at the pictures posted from that day and was like, oh, her outfit matches.
That's so bad.
Like FBI level of intelligence.
If you ever need me.
Oh my God.
So yeah, I'm like, no, I was tapping Isabel. Look, I think that's her, isn't it? That's her. So then I think I tapped you on the shoulder maybe. Oh, I think I might have said, Louise?
You said something where I looked up and I went, oh. Like, what have I done? Or like, who is this?
Oh, and I showed you your Twitter profile and I was like, is that your Twitter? And you're like, yeah. I was like, I follow you.
Half of me, right, I don't know if I told you this, half of me was like, oh, this is nice. Like, this is someone I know from Twitter. Like, oh, lovely. The other half of me was like, oh my God, like, this was a 3-hour flight. Like,
I'm what if this insane
what
person?
If she's like, honestly, sorry to say, but I was like, what if this is like a nut job that I'm stuck beside on the flight? Genuinely.
And it was.
There's all sorts of people on Twitter, right? And I was like, oh, like, like, this is really nice, but also like, oh.
And that's why I put my AirPods in. I said, hello, AirPods in, fell asleep. Because I was like, I'm not getting stuck with this now, just in case you were in a job.
But okay, to give context as well, I was traveling with Isabel, whom I love, but is not a Eurovision fan. She had been dragged under the promise that we had free drinks and free tickets. Very kindly gifted by Wee Wee Blogs. So yeah, it was kind of like,
she didn't want to hear about Eurovision the whole way home.
And like, even on the day of Eurovision, I think she was probably sick of it by then. So like, the rest of the weekend, it was me kind of like just dying to bring it up. But no, and you know, you don't want to burn someone's ear off about it. And then to have been to Eurovision for the first time, I was nearly just dying to talk to anyone about it. So then I think, we
started nattering and we were having a great chat.
You chatted for the whole flight.
Well, Connor,
I fell asleep and woke up and we were landing and you were still chatting.
Yeah. And Isabel actually was so like sick of us that
it was only about 10 minutes in.
10 minutes in was like, sorry guys, I'm trying to sleep. Can I swap seats?
Imagine like, says you're not a Eurovision fan and there's Louise and Alex on either side of you talk about Eurovision. Like, when you think about that now, that's horrendous. Mm.
Yeah,
that's
at actually like 12 o'clock at night or whatever.
Torturous.
Yeah, so we genuinely spoke shockingly for
so
the
you
whole
moved
flight.
Into the seat beside me and then, oh my God, the whole way home. I told you loads of gossip
so
from the
much.
Nights out. I told you about Wee Wee Blogs.
I was eating every second
that.
Of it up.
It was great. And then I was like, you'll have to like join our group chats and blah blah blah. Little did we know we'd be here.
Yeah,
here we are.
Yeah,
so thank
that
you Ryanair.
Freak who tap you on the shoulder.
Thank you Ryanair. I remember putting up an Instagram post like a while later. There was a nice picture of us and I was like, Lauren Paddles Pod took the photo and I was like, photo is thanks to Lauren, and I like added her, and then I was like, friend is thanks to Ryanair random seat allocation.
Oh, so that is gas. But what a way to meet someone, huh?
Never forget it. That's the thing. Oh, yeah. Never forget it.
It's very iconic. It's very Alex, to be honest. Mm-hmm. But just being like, I'll chancel, I'll ask her. Because I think I'd be a bit more introverted. I'd be like, oh, I think it might be them, but like, I don't know if I'll ask. Whereas I'm really glad you did. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, she whipped out Twitter and was like, got the profile, everything.
Her clothes match.
Yeah, I love it. Oh, God.
Still haven't put that on private. Maybe I should.
This is your sign.
So we didn't then, we still haven't even gotten to Eurovision.
No,
so
still a few
we
months
started
out.
It in August 22 officially, but our first episode wasn't out till September.
Mm-hmm. 13th and of September 2022.
When did you fully decide like, this is what we're going to do?
Like
we're
July, end of July?
End of July was the chat in our local. And then it was August where we were like, right, let's actually make a go.
We set August as our deadline. We were like, let's be ready for the 1st September because that's Eurovision New Year. And we were very dedicated to that. Like, we met up a couple of times.
Yeah.
There's a really cute selfie of us sitting here. We look like babies.
Yeah.
And we did
that was the first episode.
Yeah, I think we recorded it on the 31st of August and it went out in September. Yeah. I have to say, personally, I think we've done so many great episodes. The first run of like 10 episodes of Eurovision, I think, were like just such a great start for us in the podcast.
They were
but
great.
They were really
so dynamic.
Thought out.
Yeah.
You know, we definitely like put a lot of thought into like the story that we wanted to tell of like each episode. Like it was really, really, you know, really thought out for a good couple of weeks prior to launch. So
we had Brooke on our second episode. We were delighted with that because we were big fans of her and she was really given to us. And then we had I loved our like Irish episode where we talked about every Irish entry ever and our favourite ones and we got the listeners to vote. We were like that from the beginning. We always wanted Eurovision listeners to be involved with us in the chatter. We did a great one on like the UK host cities and we got different friends in different cities like Liverpool, Manchester, etc. to send in their opinion of the cities. We reviewed UK entries. The Ukrainian episode was fab. Because of when you think the war in Ukraine
that interview,
kicked off.
Oh my God.
Earlier that year.
Yeah, like that was
the girl from OJ Ukraine. She was amazing,
Like her, I always remember that because that was a beautiful moment in that interview. Like she revealed to us that she was expecting. And it was kind of a bit of light in such a dark conversation as well.
She was talking about how like Stefania meant so much to the children of Ukraine, like dancing in bomb shelters and stuff. It was very emotional. chat. It was a lovely episode.
Yeah, very,
and then
very
of
nice.
Course the first Keely interview followed shortly after.
The infamous Keely interviews that were often associated with. I love this arc that we're going on now though, because like the first one was over Zoom, the second one was in person. Now we're bringing a whole audience to him now the third one, so it's going to be an interesting little mix now.
I know. What was a highlight from that interview the first time?
I know this sounds terrible because like the whole interview was great, but like he stayed on with us afterwards and we like got loads of chats in with them,
yeah,
kind of off the record about like what was going on in the selection. It gave us such an insight into how Eurovision was being run in Ireland at the time that we just hadn't had, I don't think ever.
No.
I don't think we'd ever had that insight into how it was being run.
He'd done chats and stuff with like the likes of Wee Wee Blogs, but like very brief, whereas like with us it was over an hour dedicated chat to like a lot of burning questions on a lot of fans, you know, just normal questions of like who's the team, what's the budget like, you know, give us a rough idea, like very basic questions, but it gave a great insight into the workings of Eurovision with the RTÉ. And I think like you said there, it gave us a great perspective, but also the listeners a great perspective as well, to actually realize, okay, it's not as plain sailing as we think it is, or as simple as A to B, you know. Yeah.
And it humanized, because obviously he was always humanized, but like it maybe gave people a bit more of an understanding into how difficult Michael Keely's job can
absolutely
be, like
yeah,
with
yeah
different restraints within the organization. It kind of, and I think since then he's been very giving to various outlets, like not even just us, in terms of chatting and talking about his role. He's always been quite happy to do that because we know like he's not an SVT, like he's not a BBC, he's not working with the same level of stuff as other broadcasters. But I feel like that was the first time we scratched that surface, or that I had seen it being scratched, you know. I think I'd seen him do chats with Porg on Wee Wee Alright,
yeah,
some
yeah
different things, but not anything in depth for a while. So that was like a good start for us, I think, that side of
22.
But like that, the, as in,
oh, going into the new season, yeah,
2023,
yeah.
Because yeah, 2023 in general, like, was such an amazing year.
Yeah.
Liverpool was just incredible, like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then, God, when you think about it, like, so 2023, I feel, was like the real mark of us, though, in terms of like
Eurosong,
finding our brands within Eurovision, in terms of like, you know, the journey to Eurosong, that series, the Quickfire series. You know, all those little things that people can nearly look forward to. That as well. Like, that was, Jesus, that was unexpected.
We were kind of
vlogging
Liverpool a bit as well as we went.
So we asked the listeners, could they send in their favourite moments? And since you bring it up, I'm just going to have a look. Yeah, so Jean actually said the Liverpool meetup was her highlight of the podcast. I didn't make it that day, but for you guys, did you expect, you
where
know,
where were you?
I was hungover, Connor. I was in my
fake
horrible Airbnb, rotting in bed. I have to say, I barely survived.
To be honest, I'm surprised myself and Lou made it, because I remember going like, oh, why did we organize it for like 11 o'clock in the morning? Like, it was so funny, but
yeah, it was a hairy one.
It was gas. I think everyone was kind of on the same boat.
I know.
Some people only came off flights. Like,
wow.
Like a good friend of ours, like she literally had just arrived and came straight to the meetup, and then we went off to the show together. It was crazy.
Were you worried that like you'd get a small turnout, or like were you just, how far advanced had you planned that?
That was a very casual, not that we didn't put work into it, but I think we knew that like it was going to be a mental week in Liverpool. Connor was there for like the entire thing and was wrecked. I was like over and back because I had to come home for work for a few days, and we knew like it was hard to find a time in the week that didn't clash with shows or Euro Club. So we went for the Saturday morning, and we were like, we'll just keep it easy, keep it free, keep it central, and just make it about like Irish fans meeting each other essentially. And it was great. Like, it was really easy going. Everyone was able to get food or coffee in that
the
little
weather
park
was glorious as
it
well.
It looked really nice.
Beautiful.
Yeah, the weather.
Beautiful.
I had good FOMO from that now.
We got lovely photos as well.
Yeah. And didn't you get a newspaper article there as well? That's
the
incredible.
Examiner.
I think it just solidified for us, like, people are actually listening and interested in it. Because, like, up to that point,
it was maybe a bit of a test on our part.
Yeah, like,
was there interest?
How many? Like, 20 people? Yeah. 20 people showed up, so it was like, okay, there's
went out like the week before.
There's a good little base of people in a listing, which was nice. And just to interact with people who were interacting with us online, and it's often just bringing a bit of like a human element into it, like, oh my god, that's a real person that listens to us. So it was really nice. It was a shame we couldn't do something in Malmo, but obviously like Malmo, Jesus. We talked about it before. It was a very different situation, but
it wasn't really the place.
Liverpool was perfect.
Like. Speaking of Malmo, sorry, Oisin replied to one of our question boxes saying, "You's making the Malmo."
God,
where did that come from?
Malmo. I think we were trying to pronounce it, and we're like, "It's not Malmo. It's not Malmo. It's Malmo." And then cows and everything came out.
We need to write all of this down. Keane also said his favorite memories have come from the quickfire episodes. You never hold back opinions. No, the quickfire seemed to be like a staple for us now, and even like running it this year, we were so much more organized in 2024. 2023, Connor and I genuinely nearly murdered each other by the end of it, even though we had great crack. We realized we were like, that's too much for two people, so we were very grateful to have Alex and Micheál on board with that in 2024 and just break it up a little bit.
It was hard work. Again, like 2023, when you think, like, we were still finding our feet,
we didn't
know
how much work some things were going to be,
and we didn't know if things would work, and like, is this a good format and stuff. Whereas 24, like, we knew what worked. Like, Eurosong was a success, quickfires were a success, let's keep going with that. So
Eurosong too, just to pivot back a little bit, Eurosong 2023, when we first were lucky enough to go into RT for the press day again, that was a first, like, to be able to get and give that insight into Eurosong. And like, I'm not trying to like call anybody out or be shady or unfair, but there's a lot of different journalists at these Eurosong press days, and I genuinely still don't, apart from like the dedicated Eurovision fan sites, and there was more people at it this year, like 365, like a rep from OJ Ireland, and I saw their stuff going out, but like, it's more of these mainstream media outlets, I guess, is what I'm trying to say.
The lamestream media.
But like, what are they putting out from the Eurosong press day? Because I don't see their stuff really. It's like a quick article about the six artists, which they didn't need to be there to write about.
It's the general kind of media, you know, do an article, that's it. But it's funny enough, when you just speaking to people like on social media teams, they're very restricted with what they can post. Whereas like, we're free because we can be like, Eurovision, everything's Eurovision. Whereas like a casual viewer, they'll see that one, but they don't want to be seeing everything Eurovision, because they're probably following like the Examiner for news about different everything things, where they can't have 10 posts a day about Eurovision, if that makes sense.
Media expert here now.
Sorry.
No, I appreciate that. But we're able to come at it from an angle, and the other like Eurovision fan base outlets, where like we can put up a 10-minute interview with Bambi, with Ailsa, and ask more in-depth questions from a Eurovision fan's perspective. And it was the same like when we got to meet Conley and Aggie and Wild Youth, whatever, the year before. And it was great to have that insight into our selection, because I know growing up watching Eurovision, I never saw that much of an insight into the Irish selection.
No, not at all.
So it's been lovely to do that.
But even when you think of 23 going in that day, like you said, we were very much the fan media. Like, there was no one else there that I can think of. It was all national media. And then to see the growth from 2023, 24, like, there's so many, like you said, people that we knew. It was great to see. But like, we were very much like the fans in the room walking around that day with like the phone, the mic, and, you know, asking them all these questions that media were probably looking at us like, why are they asking this random question? Whereas everyone else was asking, tell us about the song, tell us about your clothes, tell us. Whereas we were like, and do you have any teasers about your stage, and what are your rehearsals like? You know, we were getting into the nitty gritty about it. But like you said, that's what fans want to listen to. And that's what we would have craved growing up with Eurosong.
Yeah, that's probably directed a lot of what we've all done on Eurovision. It's like, what would we like to see? And coming from a fan's perspective, you couldn't have a non-Eurovision fan running a podcast like this.
No, God,
because you need that deep interest, that deep passion.
First of all, probably be called the Eurovision. So, you know, like, that's the thing.
The Eurovision.
The Eurovision and Eurovision. So, but yeah, I think like the journey to Eurosong, I think that's probably like, that's definitely one of like the highlights for me, bringing that series, especially this year, like having all of the contestants on, doing all those like dedicated content, doing our own version of it to work out the winner and stuff. Like, I think that's definitely like a big moment.
Love those problems,
for us, I think.
And kind of like, it's nice too, in a way, that it's from the outset working with potential Eurovision artists, mm-hmm. because then, okay, Bambi selected, we've already had a little bit of a working relationship with them from arranging a Zoom, from meeting them in RT, whatever it was. And that's a nice thing too, that it's, you know, we can have that connection and then we understand their journey, I suppose, going through Eurovision. And even like so many artists kind of need a bit of support sometimes when they're going to Eurovision, like being able to say to them in February when they've been selected, okay, there's going to be a lot of pre-parties coming up. Mm-hmm. Pick and choose what you're going to go to. It's going to be a busy few months. Rehearsals will be here, whatever.
I think it's also bringing like a friendly face to the media presence.
Yeah.
Like I know when myself and Alex were in the media room with Bambi, you know, they were obviously introducing every outlet and, you know, this is like the Irish Times, this is the Independent. And then they came to like, oh, this is Connor and Alex from, oh, I know you guys, love you guys. And it's like, they were asking the very tough questions. Tell us about your opinions on X, Y, and Z, where we were like bringing it back to about the performance. So just being that kind of friendly, you know, shield for them,
supporting
in a way,
them.
Supporting the artist to be like, yeah, they'll ask all the tough questions, but we'll bring it back to be like, no, this is your moment. This is your time. Tell us about, you know, the important bits of what you want to talk about.
Yeah.
And it's really nice as well to have some of the content to look back on, that we now do have those interviews from Eurosong that you can compare to that full journey that the other outlets don't necessarily have, because they're only getting a couple of quotes for a newspaper article.
So. And then they move on to the next bit where we are with them, you know, from Jesus, even before they're announced, all the way through to even now, like we're still covering Bambi, you know. And we'll cover Bambi going forward, and you know.
And this unanimous, nearly like silent agreement that we've all had in Eurovision, and I often feel like Irish fans are included in this too, that like we'll always support the Irish entrant no matter what. And like, you know, we were very vocal in 2023 that we wanted Conley to win Eurosong, and I think that's still the case. But nevertheless, we were very supportive towards Wild Youth and where we could help them out and all of that kind of thing. And that will always be the case. And it's like, it's one of those things. We even copped some Twitter abuse, I remember, when Wild Youth won. It was almost like as if we had enabled them or like had supported them. And it was sort of like, hang on, there's a difference between voting for someone and just being kind to them. Like,
we were
rooting for Conley, but we were just kind to Wild Youth and congratulated them. Like, you can do both and not be fake.
Yeah,
you know?
It's not jumping on a bandwagon of such. It's like acknowledging, yes, you weren't our winners, but like you are representing us and we are going to be the Irish, you know, person, or we're going to be that typical Irish person of like, yeah, we support our people, you know, we get behind our football teams,
we make to the Euros, we support them,
do you know what I mean? Like, you might not have any interest in it, but like, yeah, we're going to support you all the way. So I think that was really important to keep that a core aspect of, you know, the Eurovision brand.
We've never even really had to discuss that as a group either. Like, that's just always been there.
Yeah.
It's like the fire in our bellies, kind of, a little bit, I think.
Yeah.
There's loads of other things from listeners here. Really delighted to see Joey mentioned Ciarán Gra being a highlight, because you guys know that's always one of my highlights. And actually, Alex, our Shocked in the Gaeilge episode was one of my favourites.
Oh, that was really nice, actually. Really enjoyable episode.
It was just something different.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anything with Gaeilge, I'm on board.
Yeah, just back on the Bambi and their journey conversation, I just wanted to mention as well, one of my highlights was doing the quick fire episode when we got on to Bambi and Ireland. And like, obviously you go through all of the other countries and we throw out our opinions, good or bad, but it was something so nice to be so happy and enthusiastic and proud to do that episode about our own country. And I remember me and Connor, we were going on these like 5-minute rant, dialogue, whatever you want to call it, but it was just, it felt really nice not only to have such a fantastic entry, but that we had been on that journey with them. We had been there since day one, and then to be, you know, a week out from the competition doing that episode, I really enjoyed it. And also on the topic of Bambi, one of my biggest just Eurovision best memories in general, but it is associated with the podcast, was watching
Bambi's rehearsal in Malmo for the first time. I really wish we recorded our reactions to that, because I think my mouth was open for the full 3 minutes seeing everyone else's reactions. That was the first time we saw everything at once. That was just incredible, wasn't it, Connor?
Yeah, God, like, when I think about it, like, we're literally only off a flight straight to the arena.
Yeah.
Watch the show, and then just walking into the press center being like, oh, like, you actually have a real good chance of qualifying.
People wanted to talk to us for the first time in a press room.
And then walking back in after seeing the rehearsal to be like, oh my God, you guys could win.
Yeah.
The talk of Ireland potentially winning, like, we were in shock for the 3 days.
It was.
Being like, oh my God. And like you said, people coming over and actually want to talk about Ireland.
Yeah, hey, can we get a good soundbite, or do you mind giving us a chat?
Before, it used
to
be like, I remember Liverpool be like, oh, Ireland, not very good, you know. Like,
and then, yeah, after the
Tuesday. You're here, lovely, very nice, you know. But like this year, it was like, oh my God, we want to talk about
you. In the game, and all of a sudden people are going, what do you think?
Yeah.
Like, that was incredible. And emotional as well. I think when we watched it, we definitely were both tearing up, because it was like, oh my God, am I seeing this right?
I actually recorded bits of the performance, and I can hear Michal, he was sitting beside me, and he was like, oh my God, oh my God, is this Ireland? What? So you could just hear his little sound bites, but like, it was our reaction. We were just like, what is happening?
When it comes to Eurovision, people like Michal, we have to shout out, and like Melfest Michal, Glasgow Michal, Eurovision Tom. There's so many different friends who've like jumped on and off the Eurovision episodes with us, and really like supported us along the way.
Yeah.
You know, really have to shout them out.
No, absolutely.
Their time with us. There's a lot of people also in our question box mentioning Ryan Shoxi. So Nathan says the Ryan Shoxi episode. Brenna Keefe says first listen was the Ryan episode and getting to know the exploding cake story.
Yeah, God. That was just after New Year's as well. I remember that walking in. It's so strange. But we've had some great guests on, though. Like, when you think about, like, Niamh Kavanagh, Ryan O'Shaughnessy, Paul... Who?
Liam.
Oh, Leah. Yeah, Leah Varadkar. You know, obviously as well, Paul and Charlie.
Yeah,
which
oh
was
my God, yeah.
A chaotic interview.
That was iconic.
Yeah, like, we've had some amazing guests, and even, like, a red carpet event as well. Like, LEP, Barcelona. Like, we've interviewed so many Eurovision, like, outside Ireland stars as well on the podcast.
Joker
as well.
Out here was brilliant.
That was brilliant as well. Cornelia Jacobs as well.
Yeah.
You know, it's crazy when you think back on who we've chatted to on this podcast, and I'm looking forward now to the future and who else we're getting on, because if we're getting a former Taoiseach on, where the stars are forever in front of us or whatever the...
Which, speaking of guests, I know that we actually do have a very special guest that's going to be chatting to you guys on this podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Would you like to introduce them?
Yes, go on, Connor.
We do. So, of course, by the time this episode's out, we're going to be probably a matter of days away from the Junior Eurovision Song Contest 2024. It is taking place in Madrid, España, on Saturday, the 16th of November. And, of course, Ireland is taking part again. Chichi Cahir, we love them here. Big supporters of that team over there. They are sending Enya Cox-Dempsey with the song Le Kayla to the stage, and big supporters of their national final. If you watched it this year, it was great format. Great little documentary, probably on the TG Cahir player right now, of Enya's journey that is airing. It has probably aired on TG Cahir already, so make sure you go back and watch that if you haven't. But before they jetted off to Madrid, we sat down with Enya to chat about Junior Eurovision and their thoughts. And yeah, here it is. Eurovision. Delighted now to be joined by a very, very special guest. She has wowed us over the last few weeks on Junior Eurovision Era. And of course, she took home the crown and is heading to Madrid in a matter of days to represent Ireland at the Junior Eurovision Song Contest. Please welcome Enya Cox-Dempsey. Hello, Enya.
Hello, how are you?
Very, very good. How are you doing, more importantly? You're the one heading off to sunny Madrid in a few days' time.
Oh, yeah. Oh, it's all so exciting. I'm so excited for everything. It's all, everything is just all preparing now for Madrid, and we're leaving on Saturday. So it's so close. It doesn't feel this close, but time is after flying by.
Have you packed your bags? Oh, anything yeah. Well, coming
we have been packed for the last 2 weeks. My mom was like, okay, and yeah, like now when we found out I won, the second I won, when I got home, I was like, right, mom, we need to start packing now. And she's like, and yeah, and I was like, mom, please. She's like, no. So we packed 2 weeks ago, but we're, yeah.
We love the enthusiasm.
And being prepared. That's the main thing. Yeah. We love to hear it. Love to hear it.
So you've mentioned, of course, winning Junior Eurovision Era, which is an amazing achievement. Congratulations on that. We'll go right back, I suppose, to the beginning of that process, Enya. What made you want to throw your hat in the ring and enter the process to represent Ireland in Junior Eurovision?
Well, do you know what? There's not like a lot of... There's not a lot of like events, like singing events for people like my age, like who want to get out there, you know, and do what you love. So I think I done the toy show last year, and I think it's kind of between the toy show and the Junior Eurovision, which is kind of, you know, the bigger television kind of programs in my age group. So I think we've seen it being advertised, and I think we just kind of like, it wasn't even like too much of a like a thought, you know what I mean? We just seen it and we were like, right, you know what, we might as well give it a go. So we seen it being advertised, and we sent a video clip recording of me singing, and then we got a call back to go up for the auditions in Athlone. So that was really the beginning of it. So, and it's been going on since last March, so it's been quite a while, you know, but time has been flying by.
That's crazy to think way back in March. And obviously you got brought into audition then in up in Athlone, and then obviously you got through to the top 10. How quick of a turnaround was it from your initial audition to getting to the studio?
Oh my God, it was mental. Like, do you know, like going from like a video, because I really didn't think, like when you're first auditioning for it, like you don't think you're like, I mean, it's not that you don't think, but like it's really low expectations to win it. Because, I mean, you're put up against, like, the best singers, young singers in Ireland. Like, you know, it's mental. And, like, everybody brought their, like, when I was in Athlone, like, you see so many other young people, like, giving it their all. Like, they really, you know, they're really, like, the best of the best. Like, I was wowed by so many kids. And I think I was so incredibly lucky to have won it. Like, that was just... Oh, it was a pinching moment. We were pinching ourselves for like 2 weeks after. It was just incredible.
And you were absolutely incredible on the show, Enya. I mean, there was so much talent, as you said, but you really did shine. And could you tell us what, it's probably hard to pick, but maybe what your highlight of appearing on the show has been?
I think through the semi-final and the final, my whole family were there, like all my mom's side of the family, whereas the first show and the second show were just me, my mom, and my dad. And then I think the last two, just having my, like that bit of more support there for me, I think it was just so nice, because when you come off stage and then like just have my family there waiting for me, it's amazing. And just to have that support and to have that talk with them when they come off and they're like, oh, you did so well. And, you know, it's so nice to have my family. So I think that was the highlight, to have them there for the last two shows. I think that was, yeah, loved that.
And take us back to that winning moment then. Obviously, you ended up winning the entire show, which is an incredible achievement, like we said earlier. But when Louise Cancelon said your name, that you were going to be, you know, heading to Madrid to represent Ireland at the Junior Eurovision, what did it feel like?
Oh my God. Now, it was actually really funny, because Louise was talking in Irish before the cameras were rolling. And then in English, she said to us, so one judge is going to call out your name and that's going to be the winner. So I thought, okay, one judge is going to call out the name and that's the winner. Like she said in English, and I didn't realize she said like a load of other stuff in Irish, but I couldn't understand it. So Tyke was the first person to call out my name. He called out my name. I literally looked at Louise. I was like, oh my God. Like I literally started crying. And then, because I didn't like see, and my whole family were in the audience, like it was like I was in my own zone. Like apparently my uncle hit his head off the boom. All my family were up screaming. They thought I had it won. when I literally, it was, oh my God. And I was so humbled, because then Louise was like, oh, you have one vote. I was like, oh my God, that's so embarrassing. Like, oh my God, I literally, oh, it was so, so embarrassing. And then I had to like quickly wipe away the tears, and I was back in the moment. Like, it was so funny, because then, oh my God, my family, I didn't even notice, like, apparently they were so loud, but like when you're in that moment, like you don't know anything else that's around. So yeah, it was just mental. But no, when Niamh called out my name, oh my God, it was such a surreal moment. Like, I literally, the tears could roll then. They were free to let go then, you know? But yeah, no, it was just like, it was such a surreal moment. Like, it was just, you know, like, just going through like all those stages, and like these 10 young singers put in the same amount of work. So it was like bittersweet at the same time, because I made some really good friends, you know? And like, it's just, it's really hard. Like, you know, it's the tension like slowly builds up as like when more contestants get, you know, eliminated. And yeah, it is really bittersweet. But when my name got called out, like, it was amazing, because like, this is my last year. It would have been my last year auditioning for the Eurovision, because I'm 14 now, you know, I wouldn't be able to go for next year. I'd be too old. So I think it was just, yeah, I was really lucky. But yeah, no, it was such an amazing moment.
Oh, well, it clearly means a lot to you, and that means a lot to us. And I'm sure a lot of Irish people will be so proud to see you on the stage in Madrid next week, Enya. Can you tell us a little bit about your song? We're loving it here in Eurovision HQ. Tell us about how it happened, the recording, what you think about the song, and the process behind that.
Yeah, so when I first heard Lekela, I was like, oh my God, like, this is so different to the other years. Because it's such like an upbeat, poppy song, you know, it's really modern. And I think like it is like my kind of music, like the type of music that I listen to. Like, if you know, like the way there was a ballad last year and the year before, I don't think that would really like suit me. So I think I was just really, really lucky with the song Lekela, and it's such an amazing song. Like, I think it's incredible. Like, and my whole family like literally know the song off by heart. but it's about kind of coming together and being together, you know, when you're like in this environment, when you have all the people around you that you love, and you know, yeah, it's just such an uplifting song as well. So I was really lucky with it.
And talk us through a bit of the music video process, because it looked like you were having a great time with all your dancers and just the vibes in the music video. What was that experience like?
Oh my God, I literally said it at the end of the day, that was one of the best experiences I've ever had in my life. Like, just that the whole day was incredible. Like, we literally kept going nonstop, and I was literally in my element all day. We were recording in the Workman's Club. We'd done a little bit somewhere else, so I think there could be something coming up soon, but I don't think I can say much about it. But we, in the music video, we were recording in the Workman's Club, and obviously I met the dancers for the first time, and they were, oh my God, like, they were incredible. My mom started crying watching them dance for the first time, like, you know, like, it was so incredible. And then to have all the lights, and then, you know, have like all the like the spotlight, you know, dancers there as well, like at the start, and it was like so incredible. And I think when you have like all these people as well while you're singing, it brings up the energy so much more. So it just made it so much more, you know, exciting. Because before they were there and I was singing it, like, it was grand, but the energy just, and the, you know, the whole atmosphere just lifts up when the other people are there, and they're like, you know, and it's really cool, because when I was there and all the spotlight dancers were kind of jumping up and down to my song and, you know, singing it was really, really surreal. Like, it was like, oh my God, these people are, you know, even though they were acting, but it was still like, you know, it was still really, really cool. But the whole day, like, just recording it was just such an amazing experience. I was so lucky to have that.
Oh, that sounds like such a great experience. And we hope that some of that energy can join you on the stage as well. Are you able to tell us anything about your staging? We know there's some surprises, I'm sure, but what can you tell us?
Oh, gosh, I don't know. Well, there's something big coming, but I think you're just going to have to wait and see. Yeah.
Oh, teasing. We love it. We love it. And of course, you met this year's adult representative, Bambi Thug, a few weeks ago at their own gig. What was that experience like? And what did Bambi, did they give you any good advice ahead of Madrid?
Oh, Bambi gave me the best advice. They basically said, like, I'm going to have like 2 to 3 minutes on stage. So they said, just enjoy it mostly, because I have all this preparation. I've been preparing for quite a while. And then just to have like the 2 or 3 minutes on stage, just to like enjoy it, it's the most part. And they also said, just like feel the song when I'm singing it, like, you know what it's about, and like perform it, you know, as if I'm in the song nearly, like, just, you know, just really feel it while I'm performing it. And yeah, Bambi just said, like, just enjoy it, because like I said, I'll only have 2 to 3 minutes on stage. So, and then before I know it, I'll be off, and that would be the end of it. And it's my only chance on this world stage. So, you know, so yeah, no, that Bambi gave me some amazing advice.
Oh, it's one of those opportunities that not many people get to do what you're going to be doing in Madrid. It's so exciting for you, and I'm sure it will be an amazing time. Have you followed Junior Eurovision before, Enya?
Do you know what? I actually didn't know it was a thing. I hadn't a clue that Junior Eurovision was a thing. Like, I really had no idea. But when I found out about it, I was like, oh my God, like, I've never known about this before. And it's literally the exact same as the adult version. Like, you know, the same amount of work goes into it. And I'm like, I was like, how come I never knew about this before? Like, it's crazy, you know?
And you had the chance to have a look at any of your competitors ahead of flying over?
Yeah. Oh my God. I was looking at all the music videos. All the songs are incredible. Like, the standard is so high. But I can't wait to meet them all. Like, you know, I was looking at like a few interviews and stuff, and you know, they all look so nice, and I just can't wait to just meet everyone, because like, it's such a friendly competition, you know. And I can't wait to go over and just you know, I really want to enjoy it now. I think this is like, I think the preparing is just kind of all, you know, I've done my preparing, so I'm ready to just go over and enjoy it now, you know what I mean?
Absolutely. And so when you bring home the trophy for Ireland for Junior, when are you gonna head to the adult contest then? Would that be something you would think of in the future?
Absolutely. I would love to do the adult Junior Eurovision or adult Eurovision. Yeah, no, absolutely. I would definitely think about something like that in the future, 100%.
One to keep an eye on, so.
Absolutely.
It's been such a joy to have you on, Enya, and we're all wishing you the best luck. Do you have any message out there for Irish fans and people who enjoy your song?
Well, I think just if you have like a dream, like I do, stay at it, because there was a point over COVID when I wasn't getting much opportunities to sing, and I think it really made me appreciate it even more. So yeah, and then I think after COVID, then I just really missed it, and I was so ready to get back into it. So just stay at, if you have a dream, stay at it and don't give up on it, because you'll regret it. And also Ireland can vote for themselves. So vote for me. Great. Thank you.
And that was such lovely advice. I think I needed that today. Yeah. Thank you.
Well, Enya, thank you so much for joining us on the Eurovision podcast. From all of us, the very, very best of luck. Go out and enjoy it, and you will absolutely shine so bright. And yeah, we can't wait to watch it.
Thank you so much. I loved it.
Thanks, Enya.
Thank you so much. Bye.
There we have it. Enya Cox Dempsey on Tó Mór. Good to Enya August on Fearnaire Fáil. Best luck to everybody involved with Ireland's entry in Junior Eurovision this year. Looking forward to the show, and hope Enya has a great time representing her country. Such a cool opportunity for a young girl, and for all of the young participants this year.
Love the song. Yeah. Love the song.
Yeah.
It's a little bop.
It's boppy. It's so good.
I just hope they stage it. I hope they stage it right.
She has dancers.
Yeah.
So hopefully that will
give it some energy.
Because we're often underestimated at junior, and I feel like we need to be rewarded properly.
Get up there, TG Cahir deserve it with all the efforts,
exactly,
don't they?
Exactly. Yeah. And don't forget, you can vote in the Junior Eurovision Song Contest from Friday the 15th of November at 8 p.m. Irish time. Voting will close just before the live show at 5 p.m. on Saturday the 16th, but it will reopen during the live show. And make sure you send a vote to Enya Cox Dempsey and Ireland by visiting jesc.tv right now. And again, very best of luck to Enya Cox Dempsey with the song Lekela. And don't forget, tune in 5 p.m. TG Cahir on Saturday, November 16th.
We'll return to one or two more responses, I suppose, to Eurovision highlights. Mm-hmm. Over the years, there is a nice one here from Joanne, which will segue into reminding you all. Joanne says she's enjoyed feeling welcome into the Eurovision listening community. Everybody's always welcome here. And she says, hopefully getting the chance to meet all the team in 2 weeks' time. Yes, guys, if you want to meet the team plus other Irish Eurovision fans, such a lovely group of people, a great community, make sure you check out eurovision.eventbrite.ie to find out more details about our live show taking place in Dunleary, Dublin on the 22nd of November. There's only a handful of tickets left and you could be one of the lucky last few to get them. We have Michael Keeley and Mickey Jo Hart there on the stage with us to chat and have fun and more surprises as well. So make sure you don't miss that. Guys, have we missed any other important highlights?
Scott Downey has sent us a lovely comment, and I think it's one of two core memories from our earlier seasons. He said, it still has to be Louise's rant on Germany in 2023. Thank you guys for the work you do. So thank you, Scott, for that. But yeah, Louise, your rant on Germany in 2023 is a core memory for me. Alongside, of
don't
course,
remember.
Do you not? Oh no, you were swearing
was,
and all. Which
was
like,
that just
a
like
lot.
They're such a state? Like, well, they are like.
It was
remind us
like,
what song that was.
I don't feel hate.
Blood
was it?
And glitter.
Sweet, oh, was it blood and glitter?
Yeah.
That was all right. Germany are just in bits though. Like, like it's actually shocking what they produce.
But Louise was just like, what the is wrong with Germany? Like, come
it's
on,
it's true,
lad.
Though. Like, they're one of the biggest broadcasters. Like, Eurovision would fall apart without Germany. But, like would anybody care if
year?
Their song wasn't there? Would anybody care if Germany's song wasn't there? Like, I don't know if anybody would care.
Didn't they not, like,
but we need their
10th
money.
Or 12th?
They
were
doing
the top 10.
Well
they did very
year.
Well this year.
Yeah, but, like, what a terrible song. I'm sorry. Like, can you sing that song?
Run from the storm. I just remember it got very, very warm with all the fire.
I mean, he was very impressive and he did well in the jury.
He did very well live. He carried that performance.
But Germany, they're so all over the shop. Even their selection chops and changes every year. Like, I
need
know
to get
our,
Lena back.
Yeah, like, I know our selection, like, isn't the best one out there, but at least we're sticking to a format.
Consistent.
Do you know what I mean? Like, yeah, we're consistently mid, except for this year.
It gets
Bambi.
5% better every year.
And exactly. We'll take it. We're not complaining. RT, we're not complaining.
No,
we will take it.
So we're sixth this year, you know, maybe third next year. Let's see what happens. No, I do love a bit of a rant from time to time. We have to bring up the Czechia debate because everybody brings up the Czechia debate.
Yeah.
Everybody does.
It's funny because, like you say, everyone brings it up, but I don't remember it being that intense when we did talk about it.
It was intense to me.
Was it?
I was angry with you. Yeah. I really was. I felt angry. Very strongly about that song. Like, I feel less strongly about it now. I'm like, yeah, it was decent.
After all that.
At the time, I was like, it's getting top
Connor,
10.
What was your gripe with it? What did you not like about it?
She'll kill me now, but I
Go
had
on.
A feeling.
Yeah, that's what... Well, it was a bit... It wasn't, in fairness now. I knew what you were saying. It wasn't that cohesive. It was a little bit messy on the
very
national
messy.
Final stage.
This is my sister's crown, all right?
Yeah, and the pre-party performances that they did, like, their vocals weren't amazing together.
Yeah, the pre-parties
together.
Were weak.
Yeah.
But I had a go at Connor because he was like, I was like, why do you think it won't qualify or why do you think it won't do well? I just have a feeling and I was like, just because you have a feeling doesn't mean it's a fact.
That's not feelings. Oh.
So yeah. And I was wrong.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. How do you feel about that now, Lou?
Quite smug actually. Mm-hmm.
But in fairness, like, people don't talk about it. I said the same about Slovenia that year. And
it
gets
qualified though.
Yeah, but everyone was like, oh my god, it's top 10, Joker are brilliant. Like, they finished what, 23rd?
But look how well they've done.
Oh no, fair enough, but like, we're talking about Eurovision context.
Yeah, they 23rd. Still qualified though, so I'd count that as a win.
I said they qualified. I said not top 10.
Yeah, fair.
So I was like,
I was very
but we
surprised,
don't talk
actually.
About that, do we, listeners? Thank you.
See, the Czechy debate was just more entertaining than the Slovenian one. Yeah. I just let go a bit quicker with that one.
That's the problem. We agree often a lot.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Do you remember the whole bull thing? That was this year. Do you remember?
What was that over
we
again?
We were on a quick fire with Micheál, and I don't remember how the bull came up. But it kept coming up for the whole episode.
Oh, yeah, because then you're riding the bull in Portugal.
It was something to do with
and
the
then I sent
Laro.
You the selfie of the Portugal, or the, of the Portugal, of the bull, not the bull in Portugal when I went back
Achille
this year.
Laro or whatever his name
is. It was something to do with Laro.
Yeah, San Marino. And then I was like, I told them off air or off mic about me riding this bull, mechanical bull, as like a 10-year-old.
And we
in
found
Portugal.
It very funny.
And they were like, oh my God, we're going to mention it. We're going to mention it. And then, oh yeah, Micheál was meant to cue you for you to bring it up, but then you didn't get the cue he was trying to give you.
Oh, yeah.
So I was like, small, because I realized she missed the cue. And then she went, oh my God, the bull! And was like, went back and had to record it again then.
I can't remember. I think that was a San Marino quickfire, if anyone wants to go back and listen.
Because we were laughing, we were like, oh, San Marino, like, this won't
be. It was
be,
kind
like,
of a
popular
boring episode, but it was one of our most listened.
Yeah. Because the year before, the San Marino episode, like, it's our least listened to episode ever. So we were like, oh, we have to spice it up a bit. So just talking about the bowl instead for the half hour of whatever it was.
Love it.
But yeah, that's 2024, really. Like, is there any other highlights
this
for you
year
guys?
Flew, I have to say.
We can't forget the Christmas episode, right?
Oh my God, Eurovision
gas.
Rap.
We have to do that again this year. Like, that was gas.
The Eurovision Christmas party.
Yeah.
The team party.
Yeah. No, that was iconic. That was funny. That was really, really funny.
I love the awards.
Yeah.
The awards.
We have to do that again.
I think we'll expand that this year. Because, okay, like,
we'll have a discussion. We'll have a meeting, guys.
Yeah. It was really good. But, like, Jesus. But it was, like, November already.
I know.
Wow.
We have our live show in a matter of, like, days.
That's been our energy since, like, July, hasn't it?
But, like, once that is over, we're going to be turning straight to Eurosong.
Can't
Which
believe.
Is incredible.
That's scary, yeah.
It's scary to think that we're like back on that circus train again.
It comes
again.
Around so quick, Eurosong, because it goes from like 0 to 100 real quick.
Yeah. In terms of like so preparation we'll and all, it's incredible. It's incredible, but...
It's funny, like, Eurovision is like a part-time job.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no, it is.
One
it
that
is.
We love doing, but like, it wouldn't be done without hours and hours of hard work.
No, literally, like, we spend it every day, like, there's something... to do with it
and
like,
I find January to May we're like in each other's pockets and it's great we hook it on so well
that makes
life so much better when you're friends and you enjoy the same things.
Mm-hmm.
Even in Malmo, Connor, like we were doing full days getting up early, doing interviews, going to shows, and then you were getting home and editing like at stupid o'clock at night as well. Like that was so intense.
And then partying as well at the top of that, like Jesus, it was.
And I found I couldn't keep on top of our social medias enough during that week of May. It was just like, my phone just kept crashing.
Yeah.
It was mad. I feel like you could tweet, and maybe it was because Ireland was so central to the year, but you could tweet 5 words and within minutes it was getting thousands
we were only talking
of
about
views,
this the other
replies,
day.
Yeah. Crazy. Likes.
Crazy.
It was really intense, like
really.
And it's
intense.
No surprise that this has been our biggest year ever. Like
we
had over like 10 million insights this year already. It's just incredible to think, but it's a mixture of like the success of Eurosong to obviously the you know spotlight being on Ireland for once in you know 24 years or whatever it is. You know, so it's just crazy to think that like you know we can do it.
Yeah.
And like people are interested in little old Ireland eventually, so.
And we wouldn't do this without people listening. There'd just be no point. It'd just be talking into the echo chamber. So we have to thank everybody who has ever listened to an episode, especially if you have reached out to us, whether it's been by email or on social media or in person. It's really nice as well when people say hello.
Yeah.
Like it wouldn't be what it is without listeners and without the interaction from listeners as well. So thank you very much to everyone. Whatever way you support the podcast, we really appreciate it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
100 episodes.
Yeah. Here's to 100 more,
it's kind
as
of
they
emotional.
Say.
Yeah.
But we're going to celebrate properly. Like, this has been a bit casual for 100. So, we're going to celebrate properly on our big Eurovision Live night, which is on Friday, the 22nd of November, as we said earlier. It's going to be really, really exciting. But, any final thoughts while we wrap up this episode, I guess? Like, there's nothing really.
I just love Eurovision. Like, thanks to both of you and to Micheál and like everybody who's ever again, listeners supported us, and especially to you two for this last year in particular. Yeah. And you're two of my bestest friends, and I love doing it with you guys. Sorry, I'm being sappy, but whatever. And Eurovision's given me so much too, like on a personal like level and life experiences and stuff. So couldn't be more grateful. And here's to many, many more episodes.
And you guys? Thank you guys for inviting me on. I really, really am appreciative of that. I really enjoy these episodes and I can't wait to do the live show. I think it's going to be really fun. And like, please come if you're listening, because it is the best thing I've ever done in my life, is go and meet other Eurovision fans. It is so fulfilling in ways I never thought it would be. And having the Eurovision podcast on top of that has made it even better. So thank you guys. Oh.
Is there all right? No, I'm joking.
Connor's doing a heart of gold. Here we go. Come on. Make us cry.
Getting awesome emotional. No, like, you guys are practically like adopted sisters at this rate. Like, I see you so much. And again, like, Eurovision has given me so much, so many opportunities to get into so many different fields and do amazing things as well. And honestly, spending so much time with the two of you is amazing. And like you said, thank you to everyone who's listened before, messaged us, and even to the quiet listeners who don't message us, who don't get in contact with us. So many people come up to us at events and we've never seen your face, but you say you love to listen to us. It's so good that you interact with us. So thank you, thank you, thank you. We would not be where we are without any of you. But again, it's a real team spirit here at Eurovision. So thank you guys so much for everything you do. And here's to 100 more episodes, more years, and I can't wait for us to continue to grow. And I just love Eurovision.
Us in the nursing home, like, Jesus, what shite did they pick this year? Here we go. Get the mic, Connor, will you?
What's she singing about? It'd be a great crack, though. But also as well, just before we go, we forgot to mention earlier, Junior Eurovision, if you want to vote, you can vote for Ireland. Jesk.tv is where you vote for that link as well. So make sure you vote for Enya Cox Dempsey as well, and give points to Ireland as well. But yeah, that's us for the moment, Lou. How can people get in contact with us, and what's all the important deets as usual?
I haven't done this for a while, so bear with me. Eurovisionpodcast@gmail.com if email is your preferred form of contact. We're on pretty much all social media now. Eurovision Pod on X, isn't it? Eurovision Podcast on Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, and you can follow our YouTube channel, Eurovision Podcast, on there also. And we've got a link tree with links to our Buy Me a Coffee if you want to support us in any way on there. That always helps towards equipment, things like live shows, merchandise, etc. And we will hopefully see you at the live show in person. And if not, we will speak to you in the next episode coming your way very, very soon. So for now, all we have to say is
Slongafone!